Isn't this a sports show?
I'm trying to take risks and take chances, get messy like Miss Frizzle told me to do. Magic School Bus reference for seven people.
That's a great show.
Good. I got it. Don't worry.
Take
about
chances, make mistakes, get messy. That's what it was. Shout out to Miss Frizzle.
Almost entirely.
I was homeschooled, so she was like my, you know.
She was your science teacher.
She was my science teacher. Yeah, that's exactly right.
That was Bill Nye. How dare you?
Hey, Beards, you honestly think Josh's mom would let him watch Bill Nye? No way.
This is Almost Entirely Sports with Joshua Briscoe.
You think I was reading Harry Potter for fun, Beards? Are you kidding me?
So Wishbone was your English class.
You're damn right.
Yeah!
You're damn right Wishbone was my English class. Absolutely.
Take the show with you by listening on the Sports Radio 810 mobile app at 810WHB.com or by searching for Almost Entirely Sports wherever you get your podcasts.
I was basically educated on PBS.
Nothing wrong with that.
No, I'm not complaining.
Great. Look at us now.
Yeah, look at us.
This is Almost Entirely Sports on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
We have a lot to talk about in the hours to come here today on Almost Entirely Sports. Welcome in. I'm here. Rudy is here. No Beards. COVID reserve list. If he needs to update you, the people, you can follow him on Twitter and get his cyberpunk tweets. Hopefully he's doing well and we'll have him back before too long. But tonight it's me and Rudy. We will not be completely alone tonight. We'll have some help in the third hour of tonight's show. More on that in a little bit. But the main topic tonight, no surprise, is going to revolve around the Chiefs. Pretty much our main several topics tonight are going to revolve around the Chiefs. And I hope that's okay with you. Because the AFC Championship game is just a couple of days away now, and I've said this last night and then proceeded to not actually fix this problem. I think we're going to fix it today. We are in AFC Championship week, and we've talked barely at all about the AFC Championship game. We barely talked about the win over the Browns last weekend, because that was immediately washed over by the concussion, head, neck, whatever injury of Patrick Mahomes. So we've just been totally thrown off of our axis these last couple of days, which is fair, I believe, because if Patrick Mahomes doesn't play against the Bills, pretty much everything else we'll talk about barely matters. So it's totally reasonable that we spent so much time on Patrick Mahomes' head, because that, in a lot of ways, is going to decide where this game goes. But it also has us overlooking a lot of stuff that I was kind of digging back into earlier today and realizing, like, oh, this actually looks pretty good as long as Patrick Mahomes can play football, and it sounds like he'll be able to. Here's the quick sort of update from practice today. Mahomes was wearing a helmet, no pads for anybody. Mahomes was wearing his helmet. He was out there in the portion of the practice that was open to the media. He was a limited participant, which tracks with yesterday. And it was a more full practice. And Andy Reid was asked, did Patrick Mahomes take all of the snaps? All the starter snaps, and Andy Reid's answer was, I believe, to quote it exactly here, was he took most of them. Yeah, and then the yeah is in response, at least in some way, to did he take all of the snaps? So there's a little bit of Andy Reid answering that question in a couple different ways, which has been the case through this whole little saga. My read of it is this. Nate Taylor, I was talking to him earlier, recording an episode of the Times Ours podcast on The Athletic, and I thought about trying to rope Nate to coming in and doing the show tonight, but our entire minute before hitting record on the podcast was just both of us talking about how unbelievably busy this week has been, and I thought if I added anything else to Nate's plate, we may never see him again. He may explode like a star and then become a black hole, and that would really... that'd really be bad for all of us, because that would consume, you know, the entire galaxy, I think. How much space can a black hole destroy, Rudy? Can you look into that for me?
I think all space. You just have to be close enough.
No, but I mean, all right, so how far is the... if our sun like supernova'd and then back in our, we would obviously be incinerated by it supernova-ing. Just have that ready for me at some, just you know, do some light research on that. I don't remember why that even needed to come up. But I was talking to Nate, and so we're not going to have him on tonight, but I do want to quote him on something. He has said, essentially, here's how this very likely may have unfolded.
I have to interrupt you.
Okay.
I found a PDF on NASA's website.
Okay.
Black hole safety information card. It is like an old school pamphlet.
Good. We need to know
with
this.
With all the safety information that you need if you run across a black hole.
Perfect. That's great. That's very helpful. Can you just print that off and just so we can have one, just put it in our office or something here? I want to make sure if our sun does in fact begin to explode and then implode, and we will be dead the moment that happens. But I'd like to know what's happening to me kind of on the throughout the process when I'm getting spaghettified or whatever it's called, whenever you're like basically pulled apart by gravity. I can't remember. I think that was a plot point in Interstellar. I'm not sure. But Nate said, based on Andy Reid's answer, and Nate tweeted out at the time at practice, Patrick Mahomes looked like Patrick Mahomes at practice. That might be the only thing you need to take with you today. Patrick Mahomes looked like Patrick Mahomes at practice, according to Nate Taylor. But Nate said, by the end of practice, he think, you know, maybe Rick Burkholder, the you know, VP of sports medicine performance head trainer, maybe he's kind of slunk over to Andy Reid and said, hey, coach. Could you just get this? Could Chad Henne take this last snap from Patrick? Because then he'd be limited. He'd be limited technically because based on the protocol of how this whole thing works, Mahomes should not be a full participant yet. Could you just do that? And then that's what happened. That's sort of Nate's working theory. And that tracks with what happened yesterday, where Mahomes was a full participant in a limited practice. Today, he was a limited participant in a full practice, but I did not hear much at all in terms of Patrick Mahomes being actually limited in any way. He was a limited participant, LP, on the depth chart, or on the injury report. But I did not see or hear anything from anyone that would indicate at all that Patrick Mahomes was actually limited in some way in what he could do today. We'll play some audio from the press conferences later, and we'll cover a whole bunch of stuff. But there's your little sort of Patrick Mahomes kind of kickoff there. I think he's pretty well in the clear. Maybe not actually through the protocol yet. In fact, we know that's not the case. But it would not surprise me one bit for him to do whatever that fifth step of the protocol is tomorrow morning and be good to go, or perhaps do that after practice, be limited one more day, and then clear it and be good. But at this point, I would be quite surprised if Patrick Mahomes does not play against the Bills. He seems like he's good to go. Here's the pivot on that for me. We've got that locked in. I expect Patrick Mahomes to play. What happens when he does? What happens when this game actually kicks off on Sunday? So much of this week has been about Patrick Mahomes. What about everything else when we assume that Mahomes is going to be there? I was thinking about, we watched a little bit of the first Chiefs-Bills matchup on the TV during the show in here last night, two nights ago. But I was going back over it again earlier today, and I went back through the box score, and we watched some of it on NFL Network, and was thinking back to how that game went, and then to some of the stuff that happened after the game. Because immediately after the game, which is something we do every week here on the Sports Radio 810 WHB postgame show, presented by CBD American Shaman, no less, that'll happen again immediately after the game this weekend. Also, you can hear the AFC Championship game and the NFC Championship game here on Sports Radio 810, just so you know. In case you didn't, now you know. You can hear the game here on 810, both conference championship games, and then I will take this very same microphone immediately after the game wraps up. We'll talk about it. But one thing we do on the postgame show is we bring you the opposing coach and their press conference right after the game. And hearing Sean McDermott postgame in week six, he said something that really stuck with me, genuinely. Because it's something I've thought about most weeks from that point to now. He was asked about the strategy. And again, I'm going to continue just crediting my friends and esteemed colleagues. I've mentioned this 1,000 times. After going back and looking at the game, Seth Kaiser, chief of the North Newsletter, frequent weekly guest here, of course. He went back and looked at the tape and said, the Bills linebackers were backpedaling at the snap constantly. The snap goes, they're backpedaling. And then so then even I, someone who does not want the Chiefs to run the ball pretty much ever, even I have to admit, well, yeah, I mean, if you're going to get 6 or 7 yards a carry, or you think you're going to get 6 or 7 yards on that carry, yeah, sure, take the incredibly low risk free 7 yards and then throw it downfield on 2nd and 3. See what happens. All right, cool. I'm good with that. Absolutely fine with that. Well, the Bills were essentially daring the Chiefs to run the ball. And the Chiefs are a professional football team, so they can run the ball against light boxes and backpedaling linebackers. And it worked. After the game, McDermott was asked about that. And if he felt like that strategy worked. And I'm paraphrasing here. But his answer was essentially, well, we were there really close at the end. Just needed one more score. Essentially, you know, this is a good football team that if you're close at the end, you feel pretty good about the way that you got there. So I feel pretty good about the choices we made because we were in it at the end. We just needed a couple more plays. Now, I don't even think that's a bad thought process. I think the particulars of that strategy and then what came with it, it was relatively obvious that that didn't work for reasons that we'll talk about. But I found that to be tremendously honest from Sean McDermott. And also now instructive to what they can, should, may do in the rematch. The Bills in this game need to make some choices. They need to swing big. They need to take their chances. Maybe they need to hear from Miss Frizzle. They need to take chances, make mistakes, and get messy, except for their mistakes need to be minimal, and their successes need to be massive. The final score of the game in week six, and the Bills are different for a couple of reasons, and I'll get to that. But in week six, that game was 26-17. That was the final score. With about 6.5 minutes, the Bills scored a touchdown. Before that, it was 26-10. That game wasn't as close as the final score was, which is something that we saw many times over later in the year from the Chiefs. This was before it was a meme, though. And this ended up being a two-possession game. It's a 9-point win. But the Chiefs were up by 16 with 6.5 minutes left, and their team still has Patrick Mahomes, who at that point just needed to get some first downs and eventually get in a field goal range, and the game would be over. And so the strategy of daring them to run, the Chiefs are better when they throw, period. End of story. I mean, easy, easy, easy. That is a 101 class thing that if you don't have that, you know, don't come to class to 201 yet. That is the first thing. The Chiefs and almost every NFL team are better when they throw in a neutral situation. But if you're going to let them run the ball so they're not even tempted to throw it, you've got to be more effective than the Bills were. The Chiefs were able to get first downs, move the ball, and then ultimately score with that strategy from the Bills.
Want to hear a fun stat about that game?
Sure.
So NFL StatCast has been around for 5 years now.
Okay.
Only one time in 5 years have they recorded no blitzes in a game. Buffalo Bills did not blitz Patrick Mahomes a single time.
That's very interesting.
Only time in NFL, only time in NFL history over the previous 5 years.
Only time in the last five NFL years that no one has done history. That. Yeah. Very interesting. And also, that part might be reasonable to keep, actually, because you really shouldn't blitz Patrick Mahomes. But I also don't think that what they did ended up working. Mm-hmm. Not even just playing the results, playing the process here. The Chiefs were in the red zone in that game five times. They scored touchdowns three of those five times. That's an advantage offense, because unless you're turning the ball over, you're at least expecting that you're either, you know, getting a fourth and very short situation where you either convert it and you keep moving, or you give them the ball back on a long field, or you get the field goal, depending on the situation there. But the Chiefs went to the red zone five times in that game, and they scored touchdowns three of those times. The two times they did not score touchdowns from within the red zone, one time they had two attempts to get 1 yard and couldn't, and then actually lost yardage and then kicked the field goal on fourth and four. And the other time was essentially the game-killing field goal, where they were continuing to run plays because a touchdown would have ended it also, and you run more clock out, it just sort of eliminates the concern there. Touchdown would be great. Kicks aren't guaranteed. But ultimately, they ended up settling for the field goal, and it essentially ended the game. The Chiefs had successful red zone possessions, I'll say, four out of five times. And the one time that it was an unsuccessful possession, it was a there was a participation trophy. There was the field goal there, even though it didn't turn into a touchdown. The second field goal essentially ended the game. So that one is fine. They did not do enough on either side of the ball to make that strategy work. The Chiefs were getting into the red zone and scoring. They weren't getting those huge chunk plays. They weren't just dropping bombs over your head constantly, but it didn't matter because the result ended up being pretty much the same. If you could sign up to say we're going to give up 26 points to the Chiefs, you would take that. I think at this point, that's something that you would sign up for. But on the other side, the Bills scored 17 points. The Bills scored 17 points the first time, and nobody's talking about that. Like, in the matchup between second-team All-Pro quarterback Josh Allen tied with Patrick Mahomes for second-team All-Pro, Steve Spagnuolo won that matchup.
Co-second-team All-Pro?
That's what I'm saying. I'm saying the second-team All-Pro tied with Patrick Mahomes, tied with Josh Allen.
Patrick Mahomes is second-team All-Pro. Josh Allen's co-second-team All-Pro.
No, absolutely not. They are equal. They are peers. And I want Patrick Mahomes to hear me saying that. Mm-mm. I need some sort of evidence to prove to me that Patrick Mahomes is even better than Josh Allen.
Patrick Mahomes is the Michael Scott of this situation.
No, they got the same number of votes, Rudy. And also, Mitch Trubisky got drafted 8 picks ahead of Mahomes. He was number 4 on the NFL Top 100 list.
Well, he was first-team All-Pro, right?
No, it was Aaron Rodgers, a quarterback that's also better than Patrick Mahomes.
I don't know if that's true.
I think
if
Mahomes
you go look at the list, I think Mitch Trubisky is in there in first team.
I think Patrick Mahomes is lucky. Patrick Mahomes is lucky to be mentioned in the same breath as Josh Allen. That's what I'm saying. And I want Patrick Mahomes to hear all of these things and then to count on his fingers to whatever. I don't know what number you would count to. Maybe the number of Pro Bowl votes you got. That one's a little bit more of a deep cut than being the 10th pick or being number 4 in the NFL Top 100 list. But whatever it takes, man. I'm here for a petty, petty Mahomes. Is that a Patty Mahomes? I wouldn't call a grown man Patty, regardless, unless that's what he, you know, went by. But also saying Pet Mahomes also does not work, because that's already a thing. Is petty short for petulant? Is that based on the word petulant? It's got to be, right?
Probably.
Never thought about that till just now.
I just put the box score. And I just
we're cooking. We're cooking with the box score.
Jaw dropped.
Yeah. Yeah. Remind yourself what this box score looks like.
I just looked at Josh Allen's box score.
Yup.
Goodness.
Yup. Choo choo.
I was not prepared for that.
Choo choo. That's the train I'm taking everybody on right now, because you're going to be surprised.
For that.
You're going to be surprised to be reminded of what Josh Allen looked like in this game whenever Spags beat him. Josh Allen versus Steve Spagnuolo. Spags is up 1-0 here. Box scores are not everything, obviously. Josh Allen is a passer, went 14 for 27 for 122 yards. That's 4.5 yards per attempt. Two touchdowns, the pick at the end of the game. That one's not that big of a deal. But it's 14 of 27 for 122 yards. The Bills ran the ball 23 times, but 8 of those were Allen. I do not remember how many of those were scrambles, how many were design runs. I do not have that. They might not run it 15 times with their actual running backs this next time through, which is what they did last time. Allen will still scramble some. But this was not even just a victory for Spags. This was a bloodbath. Week 6, Josh Allen was not an All-Pro, was not an MVP candidate. And I'm not saying I think that Josh Allen's development is fraudulent. I think he's a really good quarterback who has made a jump that you do not see very often, where a quarterback with all of the arm talent in the world ends up cutting out the recklessness. That's a tough thing to do. That's why Mahomes didn't get drafted sooner, because nobody thought they could do that for him coming out of college. Josh Allen didn't just do it coming out of college. Josh Allen did that in the pros. Josh Allen in college was also not that good. He just had all the tools. Like, you know what? If he ends up in the right spot, maybe. And he did. But in those two games, the Chiefs game and the game before the Bills and the Chiefs played, the Bills played the COVID-riddled Titans. Were they COVID-riddled at that point? Did that come after? I don't remember. The Titans won that game 42-16. The next week, The Bills lost 26-17. The next week, they scored 18 points against the Jets. I don't know what their offense was going through right there. And I don't know how this group ends up ending the season with 48, 38, and 56 points against the Broncos, Patriots, and Dolphins. Not exactly juggernauts, but the Dolphins are a good team. I'm not sure if the Bills team that the Chiefs played in Week 6 is going to be all that familiar whenever they play them on Sunday. But right now, the data point that we have for Chiefs-Bills was the Chiefs playing a version of their game that is by no means their favorite form of offense, and doing it just as well as you dared them to do. It was the Chiefs' defense absolutely bothering Josh Allen in a way that is extremely noteworthy. And it was a game that the Chiefs totally controlled. They got easy yard after easy yard. The Bills' offense was laboring, and Josh Allen didn't look very good.
Which it should be pointed out, every time the Chiefs have played a team who we perceive to be a contender, like Houston week one, obviously Houston ended up not being a contender. We didn't know that at the time.
Right.
Or a team that actually was a contender. The Chiefs have, I mean, not every game's been a blow-up by any means, but I don't know if there's been a game where the Chiefs have went against a team who, again, we legitimately thought of as a contender, where it didn't feel like they controlled the game from start to finish. You have the Tampa Bay game, obviously, where Tampa Bay kind of gets back into it a bit. But even like with that, it was like, I don't think most people ever really felt like that game was ever in doubt.
You shouldn't have. Some people probably did, but you should not have. That's absolutely
they
right.
They just have kind of control. Whenever they've had to go up against a team, like one of the true teams.
How about the Ravens?
Baltimore.
Do you remember the score at halftime for the Ravens game? It was 27-10.
Like they've just handled business.
One thing that I would have loved, obviously I would have loved for Patrick Mahomes to simply not get hurt. But against the Browns last week, there's something else that Seth mentioned that I'm lifting this take from him because I think he's right. This was very easy to forget because of everything that happened when Mahomes got hurt and everything that happened after that. At halftime, it was 19-3. This football game was over.
When did he hurt the toe? It was in the second quarter, right?
Like somewhere around there,
the second. Yeah, because like before, because even like a little bit at that point, not that the offense was like all of a sudden bad, but you could see there was like a little bit, right? Like there now,
sure.
Again, which is understandable because
there's a limitation.
Yeah,
there's something
Mahomes
that you're worrying
has got a little
about.
Bit of a toe. Prior to that, the Chiefs looked like
he
they
has more
scored.
Than a little bit of a toe. He has all 10.
I mean, he has 10 toes.
Yeah.
But I mean, I don't know. Maybe one toe's a little smaller than normal. I don't know. Maybe that's what makes him special. Maybe
sure.
That's the secret.
Maybe
to
that's
all
it.
This.
He has a little toe.
Maybe if your seventh toe is 1 centimeter shorter than average, you're a god at playing football.
I'm
going
to go
maybe
shave off
key.
Part of my toe.
It's not too late.
Can't hurt.
Anyways.
Hurt a lot.
Oh, yeah, now I remember. Like, if he doesn't hurt the toe, the Chiefs might have scored 40 in that game.
Yeah.
And 40 probably doesn't happen. Maybe at the end, they're running a little bit more.
But we would have been at this point where you say they could have scored 40 if they wouldn't have let up.
They handle the Browns in a way that, like they have against every other team this year. I don't think it's even close.
They picked off Baker, and that turned into 0 points because Butker missed that field goal. You can even take it from whenever Mahomes went out. If you think that me saying 19-3 is unfair, because with the starters in, it was 22-10. It was 19-10 whenever Mahomes got hurt. They convert that 4th-and-1. I think there's a real good chance that Mahomes scores a touchdown there instead of them settling for a field goal. But whatever, even if they don't, 22-10. Then the Browns go score, make it 22-17, and then Haney has that interception, and then they end up being able to still kill the game at the end because they forced a punt. Well, they didn't really force; they should not have punted. But the Browns punted, and the Chiefs ended the game with the ball in their hands. That game was fast.
I mean, the Chiefs forced them to punt. I watched Chris Jones walk up to Kevin Stefanski and just say punt,
grab him by the scruff of his neck. Punt.
He didn't have to do that. He just looked at him and was like, punt. Stefanski was like, yes, sir.
Yes,
sorry,
sir. Yes, sir, Mr. Chris Jones, sir.
Go punter, sir. Go punt.
But that game could have been the sort of manhandling that would have saved us these conversations about the Chiefs only winning by one possession or whatever. They could have had a blowout win in the divisional round of the playoffs, but Mahomes got hurt twice, so bleep happens. But the more that I revisit the first matchup, and again, there are a lot of reasons the Bills are different right now. I think their offense is better. I think they've gotten to a place where that whole deal moves more efficiently. I do want to make that clear.
They figured things out along the way. What
Absolutely.
They do best, and yeah.
Right now also, though, at least Diggs and Beasley have been limited this week. I think one of their other depth receivers has been limited in practice this week. So that'll be worth keeping an eye on.
I don't know what his status is now, but towards the end of the year, the last 3-4 weeks of the year, I assume he's as healthy as he can be. But John Brown missed some time towards the end of the year.
I don't think he was limited this week, though, is what I'm thinking.
Yeah,
but
so
he has
missed
some time.
He may be practicing, and again, he may be in a situation where he's as healthy as anybody is right now, because everybody's banged up to some degree. But he is a receiver who has missed some time and is dealing with some stuff.
It sounds like Beasley is hobbling at this point, and I do not know what's going on with Diggs. If he's limited at all, that's enormous. Mm-hmm.
I don't know much about Cole Beasley, but Cole Beasley seems like the guy who's just kind of always limping a little bit.
Yeah.
And part of that's the grit, you know? And
it's
I don't just, know why I feel like
no,
he's a gritty player.
No, it's absolutely there, though. Yeah, you're right.
But he feels like such a gritty player.
He's just like, you know, I don't know why, but right now I've got a much, against my
guy's
will.
Sneaky athletic, too.
Against my will, right now on NFL Network is Chiefs-Patriots AFC Championship game, something I'm enjoying much less than the other Chiefs games that have been on around this time the last couple of days. But I see Julian Edelman, and I just think he and Cole Beasley, Beasley's a real Julian Edelman type.
Good rappers, both of them.
Yeah, that's right. Kind of like a Wes Welker, kind of a who was? Hold on, all right.
Braxton Berrios.
Hey, everybody stop listening for a second. Everybody stop listening. I'm just gonna talk straight to Rudy. Hey, Rudy, this is spoiling the bit. So obviously, everyone turned the radio down.
Yeah.
Who was the one white, like outside receiver who was just like a burner? I feel like there was a guy that I can't think of right now, but he kept getting, you know, a Julian Edelman comp, which is totally unfair. Who was not very much not a slot guy. He might have even been out of the draft somewhat recently. I don't remember.
My guy who's fat.
Oh, he's on the TV. It's Chris Hogan.
Oh, I was going to say Chris Hogan, but I didn't think that would be right.
I think it was Chris Hogan, actually.
I assumed it wasn't him because I was like, oh, Josh clearly isn't talking about the other Patriots receiver. Did you know Chris Hogan played college lacrosse?
You know what? I think that's come up before. Because wasn't Chris Hogan like...
He's like 6'3".
He was essentially, yeah. And
he's an outside
like,
receiver,
he's like, he's like the deep threat. I'm trying to see what his yards per reception was.
I don't know
for
exactly like how fast he is right or anything in terms of like compared to the rest of the league, but like he was a 6'3 wide receiver who played out on the perimeter. Like,
his 3 years in New England, his yards per reception averaged out over those 3 years. So that's a pretty good sample size. 100 receptions, 12 touchdowns here. His yards per reception in that time was 15.4.
Yeah.
He's McCole Hardman.
He went down the field.
That doesn't include yards after the catch, obviously, but I forgot about that. That's very funny.
Yeah.
It was Chris Hogan.
Everybody was trying to be like he's the next Julian Edelman, and he did nothing that Julian Edelman did because he's 6'3".
Yeah, Julian Edelman is
5'10". Like, he played out wide. Like, what are we doing?
Julian Edelman's career yards per reception is 11.
Then the Panthers paid him pretty well, and it did not go well. That might have been because he went from Tom Brady to a banged-up Cam Newton. And by banged-up Cam Newton, it was mostly guys like it was no Cam Newton. The quarterback who
Kyle Allen.
I was going to say the quarterback who followed Rivera to Washington.
Dude's going to have a job for the rest of time.
As long as Rivera has that coaching job.
Yes. As long as Ron Rivera is coaching somewhere, Kyle Allen's going to have a place to be the third-string quarterback.
Mr. Jeremy Jam says Ryan Switzer, which is another good one.
I'm mad at Jeremy Jam for pointing out our weird aspect ratio. You can kiss my aspect ratio, Jeremy Jam.
Go fix Congress or something, Jam.
Pretty sure he was a Pawnee City Councilman.
Yeah, that's in a past life. It's 2021 now. Jeremy James, absolutely a senator.
Imagine,
the show just ended before we ever could find that out.
I just have to keep... I'm just trying to make sure that maybe people that showed up for tonight that weren't here last night get some amount of context, which I know... Listen, if you are a person that listens to, like, every waking moment of this show through podcasts and whatnot, you are rewarded for knowing more of the stupid inner workings of this show than anyone should ever
you
have to know.
You probably know more about the show than I do.
You know, no, you probably know more about the show than Beards does.
There's no probably there.
That's true. Because Beards doesn't listen. I mean, whenever he's here, Beards is not listening to all three hours.
Beards is looking at steak on Reddit when he's here.
But there are a bunch of ways that you can interact with this show. We are in the visual medium now in three different places: the Sports Radio 810 Facebook, Twitch, and YouTube channels. It's great. You can see me. You can see Rudy. You can see all the mascots on the console. At 10 o'clock tonight, you'll be able to see returning former Interchin, Little Chiefs boy, King of Power Rankings, host of the Rough and the Kicker podcast, Tucker D. Franklin, will join us in studio for the 10 o'clock hour tonight. That'll be fun. You can see him there. He does weird stuff on camera sometimes, so that should be nice. But you can also leave comments throughout any of those places, and we can see them all at once, which is something that has really been excellent. And if you're a Twitch user, your username may be something like Mr. Jeremy Jam, which is... And also somebody like last time left a comment asking if they could start a Zoom call. And we didn't know what that meant.
Mm-hmm.
So someone on Facebook has referenced it again tonight, which makes me very happy.
And I assume you say someone because for you it also still says empty username.
It does. Yeah, it does. I'm sorry if you're commenting on Facebook. We've got some kinks to work out still.
I thought I knew how to fix it. I did not.
We'll figure it out. Someone on Twitch asked if this is a grumpy cat beanie baby. No, this is disgruntled kitten in a jester hat, and it's disgruntled kitten because I don't want any trademark, you know, kind of copyright fight. But also rest in peace, grumpy cat, because that was a really sad day. But this is disgruntled kitten, and we have a whole series of a dolphin, a goat, an elephant, Dick Justice, the wiener dog. Another dog, a possum, a killer snowman, disgruntled kitten, and a tiny purple dolphin that lives in the microphone.
He may be a killer snowman, but he takes his cardio very seriously.
Yes.
Always in tip-top shape.
Yes. That one is a reference that I don't even think anyone who's listened to every episode of the show is going to fully understand, because I don't think I fully understand that anymore. Some of that information has been lost to time, and rightfully so. So pour one out for Grumpy Cat. Gone. So far too soon. This isn't even a bit. That just makes me really sad to remember that Grumpy Cat's no longer with us. I'm even, like, allergic to cats. I can't hang out with cats. But if I could get a little grumpy kitty, a little aggravated kitten, I'd be all about it. This is pretty much the closest I can get, though. This one does not make me sneeze, thankfully. On that note, let's take a break. I got more Chiefs-Bills stuff. I got audio from all day today. All sorts of things looking ahead to the AFC Championship game that is not merely about Patrick Mahomes, although, obviously, as he goes, so goes the Chiefs. But I feel pretty good about him playing on Sunday. So there's a bunch of other stuff that's deserving of some of our time. I'm going to wipe these tears away from my eyes, and then we'll do more radio whenever we come back.
This is Almost Entirely Sports with Joshua Briscoe.
We're here for a one-on-one interview with our friend Travis Kelce. Travis, I know you listen to a lot of Almost Entirely Sports. What do you think about Joshua Briscoe and Beards McFly?
I mean, I don't think they suck. I can tell you that.
Thank you, Travis.
On Sports Radio 810 WHB.
Rudy, if you don't know where this piece of audio is, I totally understand. But do you know where the breaking news sound effect is? I have breaking news. It happened during the first segment of the show, but I just saw it on Twitter during the break, and I really want to make sure that the audience gets this very important piece of breaking news. If not, you can do it a cappella. You can just make a breaking news sound. Just whatever works for you, honestly. Well, I've gotten the one finger up as if there's anything I can do about it. Rudy is scrolling. It seems like it's promising. All right, let's go to the break.
I knew where it was. I had to go back to the music to turn off the music.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
Well, that's fine. Let's go ahead and go to our breaking news desk, our news desk reporter, Joshua Briscoe. Go ahead, Josh. Thank you, Josh. I have a tweet here that is really bringing some important breaking news to the scene here. The tweet says, my book is coming out soon. Hashtag NFL. Hashtag football.
Heck yeah.
That tweet is written. You said heck yeah before you knew who wrote who?
Todd Haley.
You kind of ruined my...
I honestly thought you said it at the beginning.
Sure didn't.
But I knew who the author was.
Audience didn't know yet.
Who's the coach hired today, the Colts OC? You know what tree he's from?
It's an Andy Reid coaching tree.
Mm-mm.
Well, he was in Kansas City for 3 years.
He was, you know when he was hired, though?
No.
By the author of that book.
Wait, was he here under Haley? I thought he was here for 3 years.
The OC of the Colts, who was named head coach of whoever, I forget now. Not Frank Reich, but the other
Eagles
guy.
Eagles head coach. Nick
Sirianni. Eagles.
Yeah.
Yeah. Today, okay, here's what I'll say.
I thought he was under Andy Reid here.
I never looked him up. This is what Jason said on the Zone today. So if you want to double check Jason
Anderson.
Okay, sure.
Yeah, great. Yeah, I mean,
that's
what
fine.
You read it off some forum. Are you making me Google when Nick Sirianni was here?
If you want to. He said, if I believe it was like 2009 to 13.
I thought the timeline made... 2009 through 2012. All right, you're right.
You know what that means?
Not technically an Andy Reid coaching.
You know whose coaching tree falls under? Only the greatest coaching tree in the history of the NFL and also the author of a book.
Really kind of took a big dump on my bit.
Are you going to say the name? People don't know who wrote the book or the author of The Greatest Coaching Tree.
Todd Haley had a tweet 30 minutes ago, and it just says, my book is coming out soon. Hashtag NFL, NFL emoji, hashtag football. But kind of the thing I was doing was like reading that the book announcement was here, and then you said, heck yeah, because you knew, but the audience didn't know yet.
But I thought you had said it, to be fair.
Yeah, I mean, if only there was some way you could have confirmed if I had said it out loud or not into the headphones you're wearing.
I didn't know it was a bit.
Anyway, Todd Haley's writing a book, and... The Almost Entirely Sports Book Club doesn't exist yet, but if it's going to, it's gonna start there. Like that, then that's breaking news.
Can we get Andrew Luck to join?
Just because he reads books?
There was one of his like first like commercials in Indianapolis was like him promoting like book clubs and stuff. Like he's a big believer in reading books, so there was the Andrew Luck Book Club.
What else are you going to bring into this segment, Rudy? You're batting 1,000.
I'm retiring.
Much like Andrew Luck, just before your time.
Go out on top.
But how many... But
with a rash of injuries because the team put around me just wasn't good enough.
Yeah. No, that's... I think that's only fair. Anyway, we're gonna take another break in 2 seconds because that first segment was 38 minutes. And this entire segment's been breaking new sound effects and Rudy really stepping on my Todd Haley, you know, big announcement. But you know, it's fine, whatever. God, I'm watching Julian Edelman just be wide open over the middle of the field 14 times in NFL Network. Don't turn on NFL Network right now. What?
What game is it?
AFC Championship game.
Oh yeah, because that narrows it down to the one of 14 that Tom Brady was
No. The AFC Championship game.
Oh, the one that where the Chiefs played. Yeah, gotcha.
That's right. Yeah, I'm watching Eric Berry and Justin Houston running around in coverage, just getting dissected by Julian Edelman and Rob Gronkowski, both just gritty, sneaky, athletic film nuts.
Eric Berry's soul was not ready to play that day. It was not ready to play. Neither was he physically.
I do see Anthony Hitchens. He just made a stop and is swaggering around. Little does he know what's about to get thrown over his head.
He knew.
God. Yeah, nobody, don't turn on NFL Network. It's not, I just can't change the channel at this point.
I was inside Arrowhead Stadium when that happened, watching people. Whew.
How did that experience go? Why is that button so squeaky? It sounds like you turn your microphone on and off by punching a rubber duck.
I mean, is that not what these are? That's the chair.
It's just everything in that room is so squeaky. Anyway, yeah, there's Justin Houston just sort of chasing down one of the running backs. I don't remember. It doesn't matter. Jordan Lucas! No, he wasn't white, Rudy, so it must have been somebody else.
Sony Michelle.
No, it was James White.
Nailed it. Shane Vereen.
Corey Dillon. Corey Dillon, I don't think, was on this team.
Curtis Falk.
I don't think either of them were on that.
Curtis Martin, not Curtis Falk.
Marshall Falk? Curtis Martin?
Is Curtis Falk a player?
Is Curtis...
I feel like they did have a running back whose last name was Falk.
Did they have Marshall Falk at some
point? No, not Marshall. Like a third down back who might have been with Corey Dillon.
This is when we really need the Twitch chat and everything to really take over. Kevin Falk.
There we go.
What would you say? Curtis
Falk?
I said
Curtis Falk. Yeah, I was wrong, but I was close enough.
And I will say, we went over whatever word I say weirdly yesterday. I will say that I enunciate the L in words like folk.
Folk.
Folk. I basically pronounce it as if it's F-A-L-K.
Folk.
Because I am just not trying to accidentally get that one wrong.
Totally. Understandable.
Yeah.
KF. I almost said KC for some reason. That's
Kevin,
not right.
Kevin Falk is 44 years old. He was last
still got plenty of good years
active
in
2011.
Yeah.
Which now, by the way, at 2011, 10 years ago. That one's weird. That's a weird one for me. 2011 feels like it should have been like 5 years ago. But not the case. Do you know how many years Kevin Falk was with the New England Patriots, a running back?
Yeah, probably like 9 to 11, I would say.
I got him with 12 here.
Ooh, I knew he was like, it was like the only.
1999, was there until 2011, won 3 rings.
Yeah, AFC was the only team I ever remembered him being with. He was just he was a third down back too forever. He
started 47 games in 12 years.
He is what James White is now. Like James White will play for the Patriots for 12 years probably, just catching a few passes here and there.
He had, this is a weird angle for this show to take in the AFC Championship game week. He had 3,600 receiving, or he had 3,600 rushing yards and 3,700 receiving yards.
Ooh, do it all back.
But he caught for more yards than he ran for.
Mm-hmm. He was ahead of his time.
Really was.
Chiefs would spend a first round pick on him. Mm. He's basically a slot receiver.
Mm. You can go Kevin Falk yourself. Falk. Really got to enunciate.
This is Almost Entirely Sports with Joshua Briscoe.
We're number four. We're number four. We're number four. We're number four. Our number four. You can go to hell.
On Sports Radio 810 WHB.
There's a bunch of stuff that we still need to get to. We'll do it over the course of the next hour or so. Then Tucker Franklin will join us for the 10 o'clock hour. We'll do some power rankings, talk to him about Chiefs Bills, and generally just have a good old rowdy time with Tucker. Back in the building, separated by a sheet of plexiglass, and we will it'll be good to have him back in the building. So we'll do that at 10. A ton of other topics to get to, and a bunch of audio that we'll get to at the top of next hour as well. I will also address a Twitch comment right now from Iced Pyro. Said, so I came in late, first of all, shame on you. What happened, Rudy? Hold on.
I hit my knee.
You looked like someone just came in there and shot you
I hit my knee on the corner of the desk. I do it every day. Multiple times.
Ice Pyro said I came in late. Why does Josh have flour all over him? The flannel that I'm wearing is high fashion, distressed, you know, like it's got like fashionable bleach on it. I got it. It was pretty cheap. I bought it online. And it matches all. I'm wearing like an 8-10 shirt and a Chiefs hat, and it's red and black, and it's lighter than a jacket, but it's better than wearing like a long sleeve shirt or like a sweater or something because it's not that cold. I don't have to defend myself. I do. I'm extremely insecure. Please stop making fun of the way I look and the things I wear.